Today's episode of Rob is a Podcast is sponsored by SeatGeek. Have you ever been frustrated trying to buy tickets online? There's a lot of sites that make it complicated and then try to sneak in a huge fee at checkout. That's why you need to try out SeatGeek, because they've made it easier than ever to buy and sell sports and concert tickets. SeatGeek is now the first place I go to look for tickets to a game or a concert. I've got the SeatGeek app on my phone, and I've been using it to try to find tickets to go out to Citi Field. I'm taking the boys to their first Met game this September, and I don't want to pay a fortune for tickets for something that I think that they're probably going to not even be paying attention to by the second inning, but I'm very excited about the trip, and I'm using SeatGeek to find those tickets because SeatGeek is always honest and upfront about the price. Unlike StubHub, SeatGeek shows you the full ticket price from start to finish and never surprises you with a huge fee at checkout, and SeatGeek pulls the tickets from all the other sites into one place so you save time and never miss a deal. Plus, we're going to give the listeners of the podcast a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. So all you have to do is download the free SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, and add the promo code ROB, that's R-O-B. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. So download the free SeatGeek app and enter promo code ROB to get a $20 rebate. Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino here, and I'm very excited for another one of our off-season podcasts because we didn't get to talk to her the day after the Survivor finale, like the rest of the Final Four, but we finally got caught up with Sydney, and so we are ready to talk about her game with her here on a special edition of the podcast. We're going to bring her in just a moment. Of course, we have been chugging along here in the Survivor offseason. I was in Reno for a couple days. We did a bunch of podcasts in Reno, which you should definitely check out. I also talked about editing and post-production of a reality TV show with Molly Shock as well. That's all up on the website, but I'm very excited to announce that we are going to be taking the podcast on the road here in a couple of weeks because we are going to be going to Chicago for what we're calling RehabCon. That's going to be on July 9th at DePaul University. We're also going to be doing some bar functions in Chicago that no ticket is needed for on the night of the 8th and the 9th. So if you want to find out more about RehabCon and get out there, we're going to try to do some panels, talk about Survivor and Big Brother, do a bunch of fun stuff at DePaul University on Saturday, July 9th. You can go ahead and look at tickets at RehabCon.com. No SeatGeek needed for the RehabCon. You can just go to RehabCon.com. That's R-H-A-P-C-O-N. And looking forward to seeing so many of you guys out there in Chicago this summer. All right, everybody. I'm very excited to get this interview here after the season. We didn't get to talk to her because she was traveling the day after the finale, but she was so much fun to watch. And we loved all of the sound bites. We loved her game. Here she is, the great Sydney Gillen. Sydney, how are you?
I am just peachy, just shaking and baking, trying to live life.
Yes. I'm so excited because we're going to get to hear from you. Sia is nowhere in sight. She's not going to take away any of your talking time. So this is fantastic. So, Sydney, what have you been up to since the finale? I see these pictures of you everywhere on different social media sites, and you are looking like you're killing it in all these different competitions that you're in. What are you up to?
I'm trying. So basically, right after the finale aired, I had a show on the New York Pro in New York. So I went and competed at that. I got third, and now I'm just getting ready for our world championships, which are called the Olympia. I'm getting ready for that in September, and that's basically where I'm going for the title of Miss Olympia.
We'll get into everything from Survivor, but could you just talk a little bit, like, how did you get into doing all of this stuff?
So my parents are bodybuilders. They started when I was six. So they basically were like morbidly obese. And one day I was just like, y'all are kind of fat. And then they just basically turned their lives around. And they started lifting and competing when I was six. So I started going to bodybuilding shows all the time. And then when I was 13, I was like, hey, I think I want to compete because I love the rhinestones. I love the heels, all the glam. And still it was sporty in the same sense. So I was like, yeah, that's something I want to do. So I started when I was 14. That was all she wrote.
Yeah, that's really amazing that you were able to change your parents' lives, because it was, you know, very moving during the finale when after your fire obviously didn't burn the rope, you talked about how you're trying to do this for your mom. And then we got to hear from your mom in the audience. How's your mom doing?
She's okay. She's better now that the experience is over. She was more so really worried while I was gone because, I mean, we have we're like best friends. Mm-hmm. So like our bond is extremely strong. And I was her workout partner before I left too. So she was losing her workout partner, losing her child is how she looked at it. Mm-hmm. And so she was basically scared the whole time because I didn't know how to swim. I literally learned how to swim a month before we left. And she was just like, Lord Jesus, don't let my child die out here. So she's pretty good now.
Yeah. Because I didn't realize this during the season, but I was rereading your bio before we talked, and I didn't know that your mom had gone through a breast cancer.
Mm-hmm. Twice.
Yeah.
Yes.
And was that recent?
Well, the first time was when I was in elementary school, and the second time was when I was in college. But most recently, she came up with another lump this go around, like a couple weeks ago, but they can't really be sure to say if it's cancerous or not. But she's just basically like, I'm not going through the same thing again. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing that's always really, really hard on me. And I just make sure, like, when everything I do, I pretty much do for her just to make sure that I know I can find hustles in any way. Like I made this decision because I knew it would be a life changing one, but I knew I needed the money. So I was like, let me just see multiple avenues I can to take to help my mom out.
Again, thank you for coming on and making some time with everything that you're doing and all the hustling that you're doing out there. And I would love to talk with you a bit about your game because I feel like that you were somebody that really, you didn't talk about the game a lot on social media and then you didn't do a lot of press after the finale. So this is really sort of an opportunity to get into some of this stuff with you.
Okay.
Anyway, let's just start by talking about your strategy in terms of your ideal ending to the game. Obviously, it wasn't going to end with a fire making challenge, but right. As you were heading towards the end of the game, what was the final three that you were trying to get to the end with?
So my vision, I really actually didn't care who I got to the end with. I felt that my gameplay was so strong and that I could pitch myself to the jury well enough that I really didn't care who I went with. It was more so whoever's taking me, I'm good to go. Or whoever I take, I'm good to go. Mm-hmm. So ideally, it could be, I mean, I would have loved to be there with my friends, which are Michelle and Aubrey. But if it had to be another way where one of them had to go, that just had to be what it had to be. Because mm-hmm. I was trying to get $1 million.
Because we saw in the episode where Joe got medevaced, where you were on that reward with Aubrey and Joe, and Joe was talking about how, like, boy, Aubrey's really running things, and we're just, you know, along for the ride. And we started to see, you know, Aubrey is starting to look at you differently. You're starting to talk about Aubrey as a threat. So you had been fine to go with them, and that wasn't going to be like, you weren't thinking about throwing Aubrey under the bus at that point if Joe didn't get medevaced.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking about throwing her under the bus at all. It came up as literally a last minute decision when we had no other choice. Mm-hmm. So it was more so at that point I was good to go because I was like, yeah, because Joe had been saying that around camp the whole time about how I just hadn't been doing anything. And I'm just like, keep telling it, Joe. Keep telling it, honey. I said, I'm going to ride that wave until it falls off. I was like, I really can't be that slick. Like, I knew I was doing a good job, but I was like, really? To the point where you literally don't notice anything that's going on around you. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so she was on the chopping block for me more. So I knew she was one of the main people who had been strategizing with me. So I knew she had the same, not necessarily the exact same accolades she could speak to at the jury, but good enough ones that could potentially make her win if they just so hated me like they seem to.
Yeah. At the point that you ended up going out at the final four, you were expecting that it was going to be a 3-1 vote against Aubrey and that Ty was going to vote with you, correct?
I wasn't expecting this. Michelle was. Okay. Poor baby. She's so trusting. And I looked at her and I told her before we left, I said, Michelle, I do not trust Ty. Not 1 ounce. Never have I ever. Never will I. I said, but I trust you. Mm-hmm. So you believe it. I'm going to believe in you, and that's it. But I never trusted him. So I had a feeling that he would like do a little flippy at the end.
So you've expected to go into making the fire making challenge there at the final four, right?
In my subconscious, yes.
So were you able to practice? Because we saw in the episode where you're saying to Michelle, should I practice? And she's like, don't worry about it. And then it did seem as though that Aubrey had the advantage in terms of putting that fire together.
So my logic was this, because I was like, yes, I could have practiced, but then that would have looked suspicious to Aubrey, because the whole time we were doing that, because you had to have something to tell Aubrey. Because if you're voting out Aubrey, you're not going to be like, oh, yeah, we're going to put your name down. Absolutely not.
Right.
So I was like, whole time, I told Michelle, I was like, well, we need to make sure we're faking like a final three with her, whatever, like just saying that we're going to vote down Ty. So if it came down to me practicing fire making, it would look kind of suspicious if we were already supposed to be voting for one person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't want to blow it up that way.
So could you and Michelle have gone to Aubrey and said, look, why don't we all just vote out Ty? Let's do the all women thing. Let's go to the final three. You don't have to worry about anything tonight. Let's just get rid of Ty.
We really could have. I would have been perfectly okay with it. But Aubrey, see, the thing is, it was kind of iffy, because it's two things. One, I've been blindsiding people the whole show. Mm-hmm. Aubrey knows how I play. I didn't want to be the person getting blindsided. She definitely didn't want to be the person getting blindsided. So she would have probably like been a little suspicious if we had brought that to her.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing with that. But I would have been definitely game for that. But she didn't necessarily think that I would go through with that.
Okay. So you guys go through the fire making and Aubrey ends up making the fire. And so you had a very interesting then trip to the Ponderosa, which many of us saw in the Ponderosa video, because I was actually very surprised when you got back to the Ponderosa. You got the cold shoulder from the Wonder Twins, Jason and Scott, and also from Julia. Were you surprised by that reaction you got when you went to Ponderosa?
In a way, not really from Scott and Julia, but more so from Jason, because when I voted Jason out, yeah, it doesn't show on the TV. He literally leaned over to me and was like, represent for the Braun tribe, blah, blah, blah. So we had patched things up enough so we could be cordial. So when I got to Ponderosa, I was looking kind of sideways, like, wait. So all of us, you were talking then. I said, oh, that must have just been for show. Noted. And then once you put those two together, AKA Scott and Jason, you already knew what the outcome would be. And Julia had been basically on their backs the whole time. They were there at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of expected it from those three, yes.
So did you feel like then if you would have made the final three that they might have not wanted to look at your game in the context of that we'll vote for her? Did you feel like that they were going to be bitter towards you in a vote?
I definitely think Scott would have, but Jason, we had a relationship prior to that because Jason and I were really close in the beginning. So I think he probably could have put it halfway to the side. Granted, I knew who was bitter then too, but I think he would have been able to, since he was voting by himself without Scott next to him, I think he would have been able to go ahead and push that to the side. And I think Julia too as well.
So one of the things that we've talked about a lot since the end of the season is the Aubrey versus Michelle debate. Obviously you voted for Michelle to win. Why did you feel like Michelle should be the winner?
It was more so just a simple fact that I'm a big person on loyalty. And if you find any type of ounce of loyalty in Survivor, it's second to none. So the fact that Michelle literally never turned on me the entire time we were allied, which was from the split, we've been allies since then. She never, ever turned on me. And Aubrey wrote my name down. So automatically in my head, I don't care what your game play was. The most important thing to me is your loyalty. Mm-hmm. Were you loyal to the end? And that automatically went to Michelle for me.
But at that final four vote, weren't you also writing Aubrey's name down? You don't forgive her for being disloyal when you were also trying to vote her out?
I forgive her on a personal sense, but gameplay-wise, yeah, no. Like, I completely understand. I already knew it was coming because that was the thing, because we think so much alike. Mm-hmm. And that was the downfall. Because every time she would think something, I said, no, she knows how I think. I know how she thinks. Which, when you spend that much time together, you know each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, oh, this is not going to be good. Because I knew exactly when she knew I was a threat. I knew exactly when I was like, oh, man, this is not good for me.
Yeah.
So I already know.
Okay. Could you talk about the relationship that you had with Jason and Scott at that big point in which you flipped away from them? Because that really was, I thought, the move that really set up everything that came after the merge in that vote with Nick. And that was such an interesting episode, obviously, when you said...
Don't check me, boo.
Yeah, that when Nick was hanging out with Jason and Scott all the time. So... I'm really fascinated to hear from you about your relationship with those guys up until that point and why you decided to flip away from them. Because to me, I had thought at the time that maybe you made that move too early. I thought that maybe you could have rode that out to the end and sort of sat with them as the most likable of that group. Obviously, it works out pretty good for you because you got very far going away from them. So could you just talk about your relationship with Jason and Scott heading into that vote?
Well, heading into the vote, we were, I mean, just as good as we've been the whole way. We've been a solid three for, what, 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks? So we've basically been always voting together. Everything was cordial. Everything was nice. Like, once we got to the merge, we were all peppy. Scott was super happy. We were all great. This is always happening when things are going their way. So what basically happened was, it was one night after Neil got evacuated. I was sitting there and I was thinking to myself, I said, Nick really needs to go. And then, so I pitched it to them. So one thing about me is I would have been loyal to the end, but then I heard little whisperies going around and that's when I was like, my little spidey senses aren't really feeling too nice about this. So what happened was I pitched an idea. They were like, nah, Sid, we'll just wait on it. I'm looking like, oh, okay. No, I said, no, that's enough of this bullshit. We're going to nip this in the bud. And I'm going to do what I want to do. And so on top of that, because the thing is about having multiple allies. I'd already formed bonds with like pretty much everybody else in the camp. So with that being said, there were a couple people who were coming back to me and was like, Jason said final two with me, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, oh, word. Okay. Noted. And that's when I was like, Cindy, you need to go ahead and start playing for yourself, boo, because you over here trying to be too loyal and that's going to be your downfall. Mm-hmm. So that's when I jumped ship. I was like, this might be the perfect time because it was so many numbers that I had to play with. And I knew like I can be brainy and I can be like on the deal with the beauty people, too. So like I knew I could pull both of them together. And it's pretty much what I do in my regular life anyway. Like my friend groups are random people who never would have talked to each other if it wasn't for me. So basically, I just pulled everybody together and that was it.
Now, we saw after the first swap that you had a scene where you were talking with Debbie and Debbie said, okay, obviously, I think that this must be a person who I have a lot of respect for because you can't be a bodybuilder unless you have discipline. And she seemed like she wanted to work with you at that point. But we didn't see a lot of you connecting with Michelle at that point in time. Did you guys have a good relationship before you got to the merge?
Okay, what basically happened was, we had literally, before we got on our boat to go to the merge, we had literally just formed our alliance. So it was really fresh. It was new. And she already said she wanted to work with me. So that we had a relationship prior to that. But I also had a relationship with Miss Debbie more on a personal sense that just kind of went left after the merge because people started losing their minds. So, yeah.
Yeah. You know, we didn't really see a lot of what was going on in that post swap tribe where it was 2 versus 2 versus 2. And we've heard a lot of different things about what would have happened if they would have went to tribal council. And then there's obviously the point where you spot the immunity idol in Neil's pocket. What was going to go on if you guys would have lost a challenge with that group?
At that time, I'm pretty sure we were talking about voting Michelle out. Mm-hmm. That was before I aligned with her. But then, I saw her trying more and then we got to know each other more on a personal level. And that's when we made our alliance.
And were you thinking at that point in time of, okay, let me start to collect some pieces in case I want to flip away from Jason and Scott after the merge?
Absolutely. I think it really happened when I was talking to Miss Debbie. Miss Debbie was just like, you know, Sid, one of these days you're going to have to flip on them. And that's when my wheels started turning. I said, you know what, Miss Debbie, that's true. One of these days we all can't win a million. So I'm like, and it needs to be me. So I said, that's true. And after that, that's when my wheels got to turning.
Okay. So then when you guys got to the merge, obviously now you were starting to see that Neil has the idol. And then it seems like that you have the Braun tribe and then different parts of beauty are also working with you guys. We have had so many different stories about what was going to happen in that night that Neil went home. From your perspective, what was going to happen that night?
what I knew was we were voting Neil. Mm-hmm. That's what I was told. And that was the plan that we were originally going to go with mm-hmm. before I came to my senses.
Yeah. So the idea there was that you guys were going to try to get him to give his idol to somebody else or just to play his idol and then have enough votes to vote Aubrey out that night?
I don't know about another plan. I only knew about the Neil one. That was the only thing I knew.
All right. So then what was it about Nick in particular that really got under your skin? Or was it just the fact that Jason and Scott didn't want to talk about getting rid of him?
It was the fact that his gameplay was so terrible. it was just terrible. It was for him and Julia. I don't like when people can't be slick or when they're literally so overt. That is baffling. I'm just like, are we playing the same game or no? Because this right here, I literally see everything. I see everything. I hear everything. If you're in an earshot, my earshot maybe could be like a good 20, 30, 40, maybe even 50 feet. I'm going to hear it. I don't know why. I just hear everything. But I'm just looking like for people to just be so just terrible at the game. That's insulting to me. And once you start insulting my intelligence, you got to go because I don't have time. I can't deal with that. I don't care.
Was it specifically what we saw in the episode when he came over and was asking Julia about, hey, is there a women's alliance? Thing. Yeah,
that was the one, not one edit. That was the whole thing. That was it. I was literally like, you've got to be kidding me. And then the fact that Julia was like, oh, she didn't say anything. I'm looking like, girl, you thought I was going to talk around you. I didn't trust you from the gate. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking like, what kind of game are people playing? I just didn't understand. I was baffled. And at that point, I was like, F it. I got to say something. I can't even hold it anymore.
All right. So at that point, you go ahead and you get that Nick vote going and it's going to be the women and Joe versus the threesome of Scott and Jason and Ty. But then it looks like that, you know, Aubrey is talking about this idea of we should vote out Julia. There's also this idea about flushing the super idol because you have enough votes to split it 3-3. Ultimately, you guys decide to vote out Debbie at that vote. And you had been working with Debbie seemingly at that point since the swap. Can you talk a little bit about all the different factors that went into that vote where Debbie went home?
So my main factor, one, I knew they were going to be petty betties and I knew they were going to come for me. So I was like, if my name's going to be written down, what's the surefire way for me not to go home? That's number one. Two, I didn't trust Julia. And Miss Debbie, my look on things was I tried to get relationships separated of people who are too trusting of people who I didn't trust, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
So it shows on TV how close Miss Debbie thought she was to Julia, how close she wanted to be with Julia. And I didn't trust her at all, like not one second. So what really happens is, well, it shows some of it, but it doesn't show the part where Aubrey comes and tells me that Miss Debbie's trying to get people against me to vote me out.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh, once again, oh, word. My whole logic was, you're coming for me, I'm coming for you, and I'm going to beat you to the punch. Yeah. So once I found out she was coming for me, that solidified her name. Because it could have easily been anybody else. So I said, nope, you need to go. You in particular, you're gonna break us down from the inside. And I'd rather not have anybody in my so-called alliance that's going to try to come for me. We're not going to do that.
So Debbie was trying to get the votes onto you?
Yes.
So why did Debbie want to work with Jason and Scott? Or did she just didn't want the votes to be on her?
She was talking about for the future, not for this specific vote.
Got it.
Yeah, for the future, she was like, we need to start getting her out. I was like, well, I'm going to go ahead and beat you to it. This is my time. You need to go.
So at that point in time, so now Debbie is gone. And then, this is when we're starting to see the vote against Scott. How involved were you? Because we saw mostly Aubrey talking with Ty on that mm-hmm. vote. What were you doing during that vote?
Well, Aubrey asked me my opinion on who should go, and I told her Scott. But what I was also telling her, too, is I have a leadership style that works for majority of people. See, certain personalities can't allow themselves to take a step back. I'm not one of those people. Mm-hmm. So you have to, when you're in alliance, you have to allow people the little bit of leeway to think they're making a decision.
Yeah.
So I already wanted Scott anyway. So I was just like, well, Scott, well, Ty, who do you want? Knowing damn well I wanted Scott anyway, but you got to give people the option. Who do you think should go? to make them feel as if they're making a decision. He was like, yeah, let's do Scott. And I was like, okay, cool. So Aubrey was the wingman for that one, because I did not get along with Ty either. I didn't trust him either. So anybody who I didn't really trust, I kind of didn't necessarily stay away from, but I didn't strategize like others who were closer to them.
Now, why didn't you get along with Ty? We saw you during the show say, I don't want to go to the final three with no damn Ty. Was that because you felt like he was going to win, or because you just didn't want him to get far in the game?
I just didn't want him to get far in the game. That's just point blank simple. But basically, there's a lot. Yeah, that's a whole story. He was a little shady little bunny one time. It was before. Who was it? Scott wasn't gone yet.
Mm-hmm.
It was the vote where they were trying to get me out. There was a whole huge argument after, like, I had some random conversation with Ty, more so a pep talk in my eyes. He took it all the way left. It was a whole poo show, and we were just yelling.
Poo show?
It was a poo show. I'm telling you. I try to stop cursing. I'm trying to get better, y'all. But I can't help it. But yeah, so it was more so from a personal sense that he tried to attack my character, and people like that, I don't give a damn if it's a game or not. You're not going to do it. Mm-hmm. And I'm not gonna sit here for it.
Right.
Not like a
simmer down.
Yeah, simmer down, Ty.
Exactly. Simmer down.
And he had a mutual not getting along with you, or you felt like it was one-sided, you towards him?
I mean, he tried. Like, after the whole argument, I was like, it's a little too late. Mm-hmm. I'm a person just, I don't know, you can't give people too many chances, because that's another time a bullet for them to shoot you in the foot with.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just keep doing that. I give you one chance. Once you mess up that one chance, I'm sorry. I'm not here for it.
Okay. In the vote after Scott went home, that was when Julia was going to go home next. And we saw in the episode that Jason, now that he was separated from Scott, he really is trying to talk to you about, hey, come with me, come with Julia, let's get Michelle, and the four of us can stick together. It seemed as though you were listening to it. Were you ever seriously considering going back with Jason at that point?
Absolutely not. I call it the Georgia Peach. We're basically on about, you say yes to anything. Yes, absolutely. Oh, I'm for it. That was my main three phrases. Like, no.
All right.
And then I make a decision on my own. If I figure out something's better for me, I'll do it, but I'm not going. I was like, that'd just be dumb on my part, because I already felt that I would get further with people who I actually like have better relationships with versus people who I've already tipped my little trust scale, or I don't feel really too good about them.
So in the vote after that, so then Julia goes home and Jason's like the only person left from his side. But then Ty, who has the extra vote advantage, he has this plan. He wants to vote out Michelle. And he's trying to get Aubrey and Joe to go along with that. And you're talking with Aubrey in that episode about what should the vote be. And Aubrey is really conflicted. She says to you, oh, I don't know what to do. This is like Sophie's choice. And I was always wondering what was going through your mind at that point when Aubrey seems really conflicted about the idea of, should I stick with you or should I go with a different alliance?
Well, it was like that conversation was more so a personal one. Like, I threw strategy more so out the door at that point, because I knew that I knew I could trust Michelle. If that was a vote I had, I knew I could trust that one. And Ty seemed to be having all these little, I was like, something suspect about it. And I'm not really here for that either. But when I was talking to Aubrey, I was like, listen, I respect you as a person. You do whatever decision you think is best for you, but I'm gonna let you know straight up, I'm not writing her name down, period. Not happening.
Mm-hmm.
You make a decision, you do what you feel is best, and I respect it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. I don't know what would have happened after that, but I just knew what I wasn't going to do.
How much did Michelle endear herself to you at the point that she didn't stick with Julia and stuck with you at the point in the game that it was time to cut Julia?
I think that was my set point for our relationship. I don't know. I think it was a good move for her, I really think, because it was hindering her. That's what we talked to her about. It was hindering her position within the alliance, because we couldn't tell her anything just in case she went back to tell Julia. If there were any plans, that's why we had to leave them both out on the Scott vote, because I didn't trust Julia. So I was like, listen, this has to be four people. We can't tell anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was her best decision in order of getting her go. And that really solidified our alliance to me of who she was really with. Because I told her straight up out the gate, I didn't really sugarcoat much. I sugarcoated it when I need to get a move done. But to my actual allies, I wasn't sugarcoating nothing. I was like, I'm not rocking with her. You do what you do, boo, but I'm not doing it.
So when you get down to the final five, you have the point in which you guys go on the reward challenge where Joe is going to get medevac. But we didn't get to see a tribal council in that episode. In your mind, what was going to happen at the final five?
Final five, I think we were discussing sending Michelle home is what I think. I think Aubrey had pitched that to me. I can't really remember because it was so long ago, but I feel like her name was more so on the block more than anybody else's. But I probably would have tried to swing that to get Ty gone.
Mm-hmm. You seem like you were very upset about Joe going home at that point in the game. You talked about him as being like a grandfather to you.
We always had little fireside chats, and he used to call me his Ebony Princess. So my granddaddy calls me names like that, too. And he literally is like an Italian version of my granddaddy. Like, they are both like all white hair, like pretty decent shape. And so, and they're funny. So, and they always like, they both have like good stories, just life stories and life lessons. So like, just from talks with him, and you're around people so much, and he was so peaceful majority of the time, it was a relationship that I liked having there. And it just was like a little piece of home, basically. Mm-hmm. So when he left, it was just like, it was just sad more so in how he went out. I was just like, how do you have somebody? Because literally he was on cloud 150 the entire day. We had an amazing day. And for it to end that way, I was just like, that's kind of messed up.
How hard was it for you to hold your tongue the day after you guys lost the reward challenge? It might have been the episode before when he was trying to make you get all that firewood after the reward challenge.
I was about to lose my mind. I was literally going to lose it. I was losing it. I was like, it's too hot. I'm too damn hungry. I'm not here for it right now. I really can't. I was at my breaking point that time. I really didn't care. At least 30 days in this thing. I'm tired.
That was when you said this.
We're in the middle of Koran. Like, listen, we don't need no more heat, baby.
Which we loved.
We really didn't. I was just like, is he serious? And I looked at Aubrey, the amount of eye, because Aubrey and I talked through it. Like, Aubrey and Michelle and myself, we all talked through eye contact. The amount of eyes I was shooting her, I said, girl, my eyes were getting bug-eyed. They were getting bug-eyed. I was losing it. I was like, let me just take a step back and walk out because I'm going to lose it.
All right. How much did you know about the Super Idol during the game? And at what point did you know exactly what it could do? Was it from as far back as when you were on the Braun Beach, or was it after the merge?
They kept the Super Idol tidbit from me. I knew about that idol, clearly. And then once we got to the merge, I'd heard some whispers about a Super Idol. And I'd heard that Ty had one. I knew that Neil had one. So I was pretty aware of all of everybody who had the idols. But just as the game went on, I was more aware of what the power could be.
So it was such a big controversy this season. Everything that went on the Braun Beach between Jason and Scott and Alicia. And I don't know what to believe, but I feel like the only person that I feel like is going to give me an unbiased version of what happened is you. So could you just tell us a little bit about, from your perspective, what it was like with Jason and Scott and Alicia?
So, another poo show. It was, I was like, y'all are just doing the most. My whole thing was, I'm literally just sitting there like, it's too hot for this. It is too hot. Because at that point, we were literally starving. Mm-hmm. Like, we didn't have any food. Everybody else was up here living large. We had nothing except a piece of coconut and a sip of water before challenges. But sitting there, like, Alicia has a very, she's ditzy. Mm-hmm. She's just ditzy. And, but she has, like, pieces of clarity here and there if you talk to her in the proper tone for her. And it just depends. But she doesn't really listen to anything that anybody has to say. That just seems to be her as a person. I've seen it after the show. It just seems to be her. Now with Scott and Jason, they have very strong tones. I mean, it's Braun. We were all very Braun, and we all have strong tones, strong personalities. And some people don't take kindly to that. So they would say things that were meant to help her, but she would take it in the wrong, not necessarily in the wrong way. She wouldn't take it in at all, really. So it was more so it was just hitting a brick wall. And I was just like, why do y'all keep trying? It's not going to work out. Let it go. Mm-hmm. But they would keep doing it. So I remember I kept hearing talks about like bullying or anything like that. It wasn't like that. It was two grown men having a discussion with another grown woman. Mm-hmm. That was all it was to me. It wasn't like she was like cowering over in the corner, scared, crying. She stuck up for herself. Whenever they said anything, she had something to say back. That's when I started growing more respect for her. Mm-hmm. But she just doesn't listen. And so I got both sides. I got where the frustration was coming from the guys. And I got why she wasn't listening to them. Because we had a whole heart to heart after. And I was like, well, at least I said, I understand that you're not understanding what they're saying to you. But I was like, okay, well, break it down to me. What's the issue? She was like, I don't listen to people who, when they're yelling at me. I said, oh, I get that. I don't either. So that's when I like clicked with her on that one. I said, I understand. So basically you're going to throw it out anyway, because she don't even like them. She didn't give a damn what they were saying. Once again, like, let's just let it go.
Well, I thought you did a really good job at that point in the game, because it was like, okay, I see what's not working for Alicia, and I'm just going to go with the flow here. And I thought you did a really good job of staying out of all of that. They were trying to mess with your recuperation.
I'm telling you, I'm just trying to over here trying to survive, man. They were trying to kill me.
Speaking of trying to kill you, what happened in that challenge? Oh, obviously, you know, Caleb got the attention because he was medevaced out of the game. But I know that you really were dealing with a lot when you were also passing out during that. Can you just talk about what that was like to go through during that challenge where everybody started going down?
It was just literally sitting in a pit of hell is what it felt like. Like, as you go and go, like, your adrenaline is rushing and you're just trying to find these little balls for some salt and pepper. You're just really, I didn't even, at this point, I really forgot what we were playing for. I just don't like to lose. So I was like, just do whatever you need to do. So after we're going and going, I don't even know how long we're going. I'm looking like, I was like, brain is already done. Why are we still going? Like, it got longer and longer and longer. So finally we move on. And after we're rolling, I'm sitting there, I'm like, man, it's hot. Like, I'm not even concentrating on the game anymore. I'm like, it's just really hot. And so once the game is over and Beauty gets the second immunity, I'm sitting there and I'm just like, man, it's hot. I just kept saying it was hot. Mm-hmm. And then so I try to find this little crack of shade, like right under the little pillar we were standing next to. And that's just where I immediately went to. And so I slid under the little thing just to sit there for a second, get some type of shade. And that's when I was just going down, because we had to move. And that's when Jason had to pick me up, because I was like, I can't move. Like, my body just shut down. Because that was a day also, because we ran out of food. So we literally, for breakfast, we had one piece of coconut and a sip of water. That was it.
And how scared were you going through that? Did you feel like, okay, there's something seriously wrong with me and I don't know if I'm going to be able to continue?
I wasn't scared about my health. I was more so scared that I was going to be evacuated. Mm-hmm. If that makes any sense. I was like, yeah. Hell, okay, we can figure that out. But I ain't trying to go home. I ain't come all the way over here for this to leave out right now. That's like, we're not going to do that. I need this. And so I think when I started hearing the helicopter come in, I had to just not necessarily mentally prepare myself. It's more so you need to hurry up, slow your heart rate, and do what you can mentally and to try and make your body calm down. That was my thing.
How long did it take you to bounce back from that?
Bounce back how?
Well, to feel normal again in the game. Did it happen in the game that you felt normal again?
I didn't feel normal until the split. That's when we started eating a little bit more. We got like 3 snails a day or something. That was still more than we had. Mm-hmm. So I was good then. But once I got to Beauty Tribe, shoot, man, I felt all the way alive. I was good to go. I was like, we eating 3 meals a day. I got my veggies. I got my fat. I got my protein. I was living good.
Yeah,
that was good to come in.
Can you talk to us a little bit about the idea of Storm and Rebecca, who were going to be out there with you? Because that really threw us for a loop in the preseason, because we didn't know what to think about you coming into the season. We said, okay, who's this lunatic that's talking about all these other personalities that she has? But then we never saw them. We never saw Storm. Maybe we saw Rebecca, but we didn't even know.
Yeah, you never know. That's the main thing. Storm is the person who was doing all the blindsiding. Rebecca, it was the person shutting her mouth, and Sydney was the person who just said whatever the hell she wanted to say.
Okay.
So Sydney was more so in confessionals, but Rebecca was basically playing my game, especially in the times when people were pissing me off and I need to go ahead and like take a step back. Rebecca is who goes to work for me. So when you're dealing with crazy people, that's who Rebecca is. That's who I have to really dig deep and pull out in order for me to survive in regular life and survive in Survivor.
Do you have time for some questions from the listeners of the podcast?
Sure.
Okay. Let me go ahead and ask you a question from Brian Altschul wants to know, how annoying was Debbie? Was she like fun annoying or was she like brr annoying?
And I'm like, brr.
She's probably not listening to this. So we could talk about this.
She didn't annoy me in the beginning. When she started, like, I think it was a couple of days into the merge, she just started losing it. Like, after, I think it was, okay, it was after Scott and Jason hid the machete and the axe. Like, she literally picks up the whole camp and moves it to the other side by the shelter. And I'm looking like, girl, what the hell you got going on? It didn't make any sense. I'm looking like, you're doing a lot. I'm too tired. I'm not helping you move. I'm about to lay here in this shelter. Like, that's what she was losing. So at that point, she kind of got a little, I don't even know if I would call it annoying, though. She just was, like she said, she was eccentric. Mm-hmm. She was an interesting little character.
But until she was talking about people writing your name down, you didn't really have a big problem with her.
Nope. I was good to go, Miss Debbie.
I mean, it seems like that even though people, there's a lot of different eccentric personalities out there, it seems like that you were able to get along with just about anybody until they're starting to target you.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
As soon as I feel that you're coming for me, because I pick, like I said, I pick up on a lot of things. I pick up on people's energies and how, and their body language. So mm-hmm. If I see something a little fuzzy and I'm getting intel from other people that are confirming my feelings, it's just got to be what it's got to be.
Can you talk a little bit about what things were like in the first couple of days in the game? It seemed as though from talking to Darnell that he was trying to get something going on with you. When Alicia started talking about that maybe Darnell should get voted out, that you said, okay, maybe Storm is going to come out at that point, or at least I thought Storm was going to come out at that point. So how close were you with Darnell in the early going?
In the early going, that was you can say my first alliance. We teamed up immediately. Like I tried to have his back as much as possible. So in the game, you kind of got to assess everything second by second. And so I was like, because I would hear things around camp and I was aware that they were going for Darnell or Alicia. And so being as Darnell was my ally, I was trying to let him know. I was like, yo, Alicia's throwing you under the bus. Make sure you don't really get too cozy with her. Don't say certain things, blah, blah, blah. Try to help him out a little bit. And I was like, I'm going to do what I can. And I need you to do your part. I said, but I'm not going to ruin my game to help you.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a conversation we had. But I mean, I tried what I could, but then at a certain time, you had to pull Rebecca back out and be like, what's the best decision?
Yeah.
Like, you need to start. It's like a game of chess, not checkers. Like, this one move has to be made in order for you to stay really calm under the radar and then get to where you need to go.
And then when Jennifer was talking to you about the Women's Alliance, was that something that you even considered for a second?
Hell no. Absolutely not. I was trying to keep my eyes from going crazy because my facial expression, they just do the most sometimes. And so I try to keep them in check. And then sometimes they just don't. But I know I looked at her crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, well, Sydney, how do you feel about it? I'm like, girl, yeah. No.
Mm-hmm.
No, absolutely not. It was going in. I literally, when I saw people, I knew who I wanted. I knew I wanted to align with Scott and Jason. So as long as those were the final three, in my eyes of our tribe, that's what I'd wanted. And Darnell was just an alliance that happened first.
Were you freaked out when she had the bug in her ear?
It was disgusting, but it was kind of cool at the same time. Like, it was pretty cool to see. I was just like, glad that wasn't me. Really, because I said, she's a trooper, because I would have been like, yo, I got to go.
Renee Warsaw wants to know, did a possible final two factor into your end game? And if so, how and when? Were you guys talking about final two as you were headed towards, like, there was a couple days left and there were only four of you in the game?
We kind of thought it was a final three. We didn't necessarily talk about final two at that point in the game. We had a feeling it was a final three. But after, I know, once I was on the jury, then we thought it was a final two again. So we know what's going on.
And so if it was a final two, you didn't care or you wanted it to be Michelle with you at the end?
That would have been cute. I kind of didn't care.
Just not like,
Ty. Exactly. Sorry, no shade.
John Johnston wants to know, did Sydney try to tell Joe to slow down eating 3 feet of meat? This is something we talked about on the podcast, that I had gone on the Survivor Facebook page and there were people that were on your case and said Sydney knew She knew what was going to happen. She knows a lot about nutrition. She said Joe's eating too much meat and she didn't try to stop him.
So my logic here is, one, I'm raising a sow. Two, Joe is my elder. Those two go together. You don't tell no grown man what he is or isn't going to do. I said, now listen. I was looking, I started laughing. I was like, are y'all for real now? Come on now. That's like me telling my granddaddy. The nurse told my granddaddy he needs to go work out. I said, granddaddy, you need to go work out. He said, hell no, I'm not working out. So why the hell am I going to goddamn tell Mr. Joe, maybe you should stop eating less since you hadn't been eating this whole time? Absolutely not. So I just sat there. I said, yeah, okay, this is going to be real bad. But my version of real bad was how Aubrey and I were. Like, we couldn't move, couldn't breathe. We literally were, like, our guts were so huge, it was painful. That's what I was thinking. But now I didn't even put his age into it and the fact that he couldn't break down all those proteins. Now, I did hear him say that he didn't eat meat, mm-hmm. but then he was going to eat some meat. So at that point, I was like, I don't know if that's a good idea. But once again, I'm not about to tell a grown, that's my elder. You respect your elders. That's just how I go.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, you do what you do, and I'm going to just sit over here.
Ben Schreffler wants to know, were you targeting Aubrey before the Neil and Joe medevac? So we talked about before the Joe medevac, but what about before Neil went home?
I never was.
What was it about her that you connected with her pretty quickly? Because she wasn't on that swap tribe. She was over on the other tribe with Scott and Ty. And those guys. So what was it about her that really made you feel like you could work with her?
She was just so logical. It was like a person who, like, I don't know, it was just her logic. Her logic and her energy, I knew I could work with. Like, she wasn't about to make, like, rash decisions. She was actually there to have wholehearted, full-on discussions about how we both get further in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't ever a time where it was like, oh, maybe this to benefit her, or maybe it would just benefit me. We, like, equally were like, listen, this is going to get us further in the game.
Yeah.
And I think just that logic and that type of loyalty we created within our alliance is something that made me definitely want to keep her around. Like, I never, ever thought about voting her out, ever.
Yeah. Well, you guys were fun to watch in terms of the way that you guys work together. I feel like that's not something that we often see. And then between you two and Michelle, it was fun to see, you know, three women sort of being the power brokers in the game after the merge.
Mm.
How interested are you in playing Survivor again?
I'd absolutely play it again. Absolutely, hands down. But it's just a matter of when, more so for me, because since my career is really thriving right now, I kind of got to ride this way while mm-hmm. I can, because it took me a year to get back here. I'm looking like,
yeah.
I need to just sit here for a second and do what I need to do. Cause I want multiple Miss Olympia trophies, and I can't do that if my body is torn up and I need to come back.
I think you have a really good mind for the game, but that's such a hard thing to balance out, because for other people, okay, I just will take time off from my job and then I'll go do Survivor and then I'll come back to it. But for you, that the game literally destroys, like, what you need to do for, you know, what you're doing with your career.
Exactly. I literally lost 26 to 28 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And I came back, I couldn't even do a pull-up.
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing pull-ups since I was six. I was like, I was devastated. I was just like, oh, man. And I had a show 7 weeks later that I needed to qualify for the Olympia. So I was just like, that was a lot. And that's probably where, like, Survivor helped in terms of the mental strength that I acquired there and that I already had prior to. So I really just came out and use everything I learned in Survivor to bust my butt to get back in decent shape to win that show. But it was a lot.
Yeah.
Like, a lot.
So potentially this would be years down the road that you would consider doing it again?
You never know.
You never know. Okay. All right. We will see. Very fun to get to catch up with you. Obviously, we enjoyed watching you so much on the show, and you know, you're very fun to talk to. Can you give us we have the RHAP soundboard app. Can you give us one of your quotes that we could put on there?
Let's see. I don't even remember what I said. Half the time I just be talking.
All right. Well, let me give you a few options. Okay. You tell us what your favorite was. Obviously we have.
We're in the middle of Koran. Like, listen, we don't need no more heat, baby.
That's always a fan favorite. We have.
I was like, ooh.
And also.
And I'm like, brr.
And also the other favorite.
Don't check me, boo.
Okay, I could probably do don't check me, boo. I don't know what it sounds the same because I got to say it in the heat of the moment.
Okay, well, you could say it to me.
Okay, don't check me, boo.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much for that. All right, and I also like to give out a hashtag for people to use to tweet about this. I think the hashtag, I was going to say Petty Betty, but I think it has to be hashtag Poo Show, right?
That works for me.
Okay. Also, I know you have some social media where you're posting all of your bodybuilding stuff. Where's the best place for people to follow what you're doing?
Vitamin C on Instagram.
Vitamin
C. Vitamin with a Y.
Okay. Should I be getting on those branched chain amino acids?
You should. Everybody should.
How do I get them? Do I take them in pill form or is that in food?
You can take it in, you can get your regular protein amounts in your regular proteins, like your chicken, your fish, all that. But you want to take extra depending on how much you're working out. You can get it in powder form or pill form.
Okay. All right. Well, I need to get on this program. In all seriousness, thank you again for coming on. And really, I saw the pictures of you from the finale. Really super impressive what you've been up to.
Thank you.
Yeah. And all the best to you and your family. Everybody seemed like they were super nice from what we saw on television. And I'm glad we finally got to hear from you.
Thank you. I'm glad y'all did too.
Okay. All right, Sydney, thank you so much.
No problem. Talk to you later.
All right, everybody, there you have it. That's Sydney Gillen here on the podcast. So happy to get to talk to her. She's such a fun person to get to talk about the game. And I think that personality that we saw in the game really shined here in this interview. All right, so we got a lot still coming up. We're going to continue to bring you your off-season Survivor podcast. We're going to get into talking about Edgic very soon on the podcast, especially in light of the Michelle victory this season. It was on a lot of people's minds. So that's sort of the other half of that conversation that we started about editing with Molly Schock. Zach Vossler is going to join me on the podcast to discuss that. We're also going to talk to Michelle herself very soon on the podcast. So look for a longer interview with Michelle coming up next week on the podcast. Plus, we've got a lot more we're going to do a few more Big Brother Canada interviews. We're going to start the march towards Big Brother proper as Big Brother 18 is right around the corner. So keep it locked in. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Go ahead and subscribe at robiswebsite.com/iTunes or search for RHAP in your favorite podcatcher. And we always appreciate your feedback and star ratings in the iTunes store. All right. Looking forward to reading your comments about Sydney on robswebsite.com. Have a good one, everybody. Take care.